4 out of 5, 6.5 games up. Pretty lucky domination by the Metsies, huh, Spencer Strider? You bum.
We break down the Mets beatdown of the Braves in Queens and just how tremendous Jacob DeGrom was in his home debut.
Ooh, a dozen strikeouts. Vogie's got a dozen donuts running the bases. Oh, what a time to be alive. Our special guest is a 1969 Mets World Series champion. We'll be joined by the legendary Cleon Jones.
All that and more is next on a 70-win edition of Amazing But True from the New York Post.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Queens, New York. Mets take the field.
So amazing. Amazing but true. Orange and blue. So amazing.
Here's the pitch.
New York folks.
It's out of here.
We got you.
2-2. Struck. Long back to Flushing, Jake.
2-2 fastball. Swung and missed. Strike three. An even dozen for DeGrom.
And that's going to be all for Jacob DeGrom. And now his first start back at Citi Field in 13 months will come to an end.
And the Braves are down to their final out in this series. Got him looking, and the ball game is over.
Amazing but true, our New York Mets podcast from the New York Post. An extra long series, an extra long welcome. The Mets take 4 of 5. Jake Brown here alongside my co-host, former Mets pitcher Nelson Figueroa. Cleon Jones, 1969 Mets World Series champion, will join us later in the show. Those highlights you heard courtesy of SNY. In a Jacob DeGromination on Sunday after Saturday's Jacob DeGrom bobblehead, the K counter figgy. Look at that. You had to rack up those Ks because there were 12 of them on Sunday. And boy, was that a fun series, figgy. I mean, that's what you asked for. We said last week, just take 3 out of 5. Win the series. Hold your lead. They went out and took 4. That's how you get the job done.
No, without a doubt. It's a statement series for the Mets. The Braves, once they had that 14-game winning streak, and that's not easy to do, but you get past that and the team is still ahead of you. You got to be thinking of the Braves. What's it going to take to catch these guys? You go to their home park and then you figure this is our chance to take the division away from them and see if they can do what they did last year. And the Mets this time didn't back down because they didn't lose Jacob DeGrom for the rest of the season. They got Jacob DeGrom back for the rest of the season. And man, the rest of baseball better look out because he doesn't look like he's missed a step. Talking about still 100-mile-an-hour fastball and the slider, just unhittable, lefty, righty. If you're a switch hitter, if you're ambidextrous, doesn't matter. Anybody that steps in front of that slider, its swing and miss potential is astronomical. And all he does is just, he's so perfect with his mechanics. He's so fluid and effortless, and the ball just jumps out of his hand. It's just, they've seen it. They've gone up against it before, but you never get tired of seeing it the way that we get to see it as fans, because the domination is real. And it doesn't matter who the team is, who the batter is, how hot they are when they come to the Citi Field. You got to deal with Jacob DeGrom. You're going to have your hands full, that's for sure.
And how hot Citi Field was. I mean, the crowd was hot, but the temperature was as hot. And every time there were 2 strikes, fans standing, there was a magical atmosphere in the air. And if you watched him pitch, you knew he was throwing a perfect game because it was that good. It was 2 strikeouts every inning, strikeout to slide, just pure filth,
Pure domination. Set the record, too. All the while, set another record, another milestone.
In the first, 200 starts, I think
first
it is?
First 200 starts, yep. First 200 starts, the most strikeouts ever in the history of baseball. And this is a guy, again, who didn't get a lot of run support in the past, and so it was hard for the victories. You know, he doesn't have the huge amount of victories that you would normally expect for somebody with such big accomplishments. But that shows you what he does is he maintains his focus. He's on top of his game and controlling what he can control. And controlling that slider is the weapon of choice that most of the National League East is going to have to fend with for years to come.
I mean, he even mixed in, there was one like 83 mile an hour curve. I'm like, if he gets the curveball down too, there's going to be a problem. Because I was watching the speedometer.
It's not called a speedometer. Yeah, that's a radar. Car.
I'm sorry.
God,
it's a long weekend. Give me a break. I was at 5 Mets games in 4 days.
That would be the radar gun reading. That would be
speedometer. We're gonna call it the speedometer. The speedometer
is velocity.
Said, he's doing 102 in a 60, doing 90 in a 65, 102. Then it went 93 slider and then 83 curve. I'm like, how is anyone gonna hit that with the movement that he has? It's a joy to watch, and we've missed this feeling for so long to the point that you have to be at a DeGrom outing at Citi Field. It is an event. It is a spectacle. I mean, the fans were on fire. I mean, every two strike, that's what you see in the seven line seats. You see two strikes. And then the people who are just there to see seven line are like, are they standing again with two strikes? Now no one's complaining. You're not getting any down in front when you're standing for two strikes with Jacob DeGrom on the hill because he's that good. But Figgy, I have to let this out because I need to vent about the Braves fans and their amateurism, if that's even a word, over the weekend. I get it. You guys won the World Series. You're the defending champs. Right now, you know, all roads go through Atlanta, although it's going to go through Citi Field at this rate because the Mets now have the second best record in the NL. They would have home field besides playing the Dodgers. Hopefully they could top them. They're about four games behind them. But Figgy, a lot of sore losing. And it even happened in the Braves clubhouse where Spencer Strider, who gave up 4 runs, 6 hits, 2 walks, and 2 2/3 in a lousy outing, had the audacity to say in the post game, a lot of weird hits. They seem to be having a lot of luck right now offensively. That's great. It's August. We'll see what things are like in October. Are you kidding me, you bum? You pitched 2 1/3 innings last season on the Braves. Yes, you got a ring to boast for it. You're in the major leagues. You're a great pitcher. I get it. You throw 100 just like DeGrom. A lot of luck. Enough of this BS from him, from Braves fans, from Sports Talk ATL, from Barrett Sally, from all these Braves fans who want to say the Mets are having a lot of luck. You're going to say Mark Canha's 2-run scorching double. That second run came around by the big fella, Daniel Vogelback. That was luck. That hard hit double in left center was luck. Oh, the ball went off the third base bag and scored 2 from Alonso. Sorry, should have made a better pitch. Maybe it wouldn't happen. How dare you even think to say that? And it's happening across the board. Barrett Sally, soft contact, won't get you a ring, Mets. It'll get you a 70-39 record and 6.5 games over your bum asses. And then just ain't our series. Mets getting every single break. And then Mets fans doing the chop. The Braves live rent-free in their little heads. It doesn't mean rent-free when you're playing the team. That doesn't apply in this case. So learn. Go to school. Learn, Barrett. I don't actually agree with doing the chop. I didn't partake in that. I don't agree with fans doing it. I get why they do it. You're mocking the other team. But for everyone to say luck in this and, you know, we'll see in October, we'll see what happens. You are 6.5 games back. Sit your ass down. The Mets are for real. This isn't luck. They're better than you. They're better than you, and you, and you. Forget what rap song that's from, but they're better than all you. And this team is for real. They got the best manager in baseball, in Buck Showalter, who outsmarted everyone, including the umpires on Sunday, who got the call wrong. They called Nimmo out. He wasn't out, didn't get tagged. He went off the field because he thought he was out. He should have been awarded second. Our manager's outsmarting you. Our pitchers are striking your ass out. You want to say lucky contact? How about you guys make some contact? 18 strikeouts, 19 strikeouts, whatever the number was. Almost every one of your hitters struck out except for 1 2-run homer. So if I got to hear more luck, and we'll see you in October from Sports Talk ATL or any random Braves fans, I want you to know you're coming for us. This is our division now, and we're here to take it.
Man, you didn't sleep last night, huh?
Hey, bro, I'm fired up. We're the best team in baseball. We're tied with the Yankees, and we're coming for the Astros. We're coming for the Dodgers. We're coming for all your asses. Woo!
So, yes, needless to say, it is still August, and I had said this about whatever the results were of what was going to happen in the series. The Mets took advantage of it, and if it's soft contact, so be it. They made contact. That's been the new Mets, you know, motto this year, more so than the years past. It hasn't been swing hard, go yard. It has been put the ball in play and make something happen. You never know what's going to happen. Cut down on the strikeouts. And you're seeing that all the way throughout this lineup. And you're seeing guys that are just having fun playing winning baseball. And it's been a recipe that has worked and has had success. And everybody has bought into it. There's no one, even, you know, Vogelbach comes in and he's not looking to swing for the fences with every swing. He gets on base and the athleticism is real, dude. Not for nothing. Big boy can move. And, you know, he showed it off again yesterday, scoring all the way from first base. There's just that energy. They're all feeding off each other. You know, they're passing, you know, Alonso's cliche statement is we're passing the baton and the next guy steps up and the next guy. And so you're never counting on one or two guys. But listen, quite frankly, the one or two guys are Pete Alonso and Lindor. They're just RBI machines. But you have to have guys on to be able to have that kind of production. These guys are taking full advantage of the top of the lineup getting on. You know, Marte does such a great job. Nimmo has always done a great job getting on there. And the speed is a different element on this team. It's no longer station to station. It's going all the way from first to third or first to home, if possible. And that's something that's an excitement. That's a different brand of Mets baseball than we're used to seeing in the years past.
Enough calling it. Look, it's August. The Mets are the luckiest team in baseball, and the umps suck. The umps suck. How about you hit something? Hit something. You can't. Max Scherzer, Jacob DeGrom.
Yeah, listen, we said it. You gotta face the Twin Towers right there. That's the tall order because those guys are feeding off each other. Those guys are exchanging information. Bassett as well. They're so professional, and you got to remember they're in their 30s. You know, Max is later 30s. Jacob DeGrom is mid 30s, and you got Bassett as well, 33 years old. Those are the three guys who more than anything want to win and take advantage of this window of opportunity that they have before them. Having a three frontline starters like that, Carrasco, again, another guy who's the mid 30s and pitching outstanding baseball. Taiwan Walker had a rough one. It was bound to happen. He had been pitching so great for so long.
He had, right. He had one rough one.
Right. He was pitching so well for so long that he was due to, you know, have a little bit of fall back to earth. But again, I think he's going to bounce back. It's not like in years past where it would take him 2, 3, 4 starts to find his way.
And Figgy, I wasn't even mad about that loss because of the resiliency that they kind of got. You know, they were down 8-0 and he felt it was over. Then it became 8-2. And what was a sign that, you know, fans are really excited about this team. It was 8-2 and everyone was on their feet when they had runners on. Like normally 8-2 games came fourth, fifth inning. Fans are hitting 6-7-8 and getting a Amore and going home. I mean, fans were locked in. It became 8-5, then it was 9-5, 9-6. They lose, but they fought back in the game. And that's what, you know, that's all you can really ask for from this Mets team is that, you know, they fight until the very end and their manager has them going right now. And, oh, it felt so good. And you're just hearing these sore losers all over Twitter. I mean, get a grip. We're better than you. Deal with it. I mean, it's that simple. This team has it all. And listen, we got to give Billy Epler some credit here because a lot of people knocked him. And, yes, they probably should have still, like we said, got another pitcher. Actually, we didn't say because this is our first show since the trade deadline. We didn't have a post-trade deadline show. So we didn't really get to react, but the trio is working. Vogelbach, Naquin, Ruff, mixing and matching. You're seeing Buck in even the fourth inning pull Vogelbach. If a lefty comes in, puts up Ruff. If they bring in, you know, a righty and put Naquin up, there's a lot of mixing and matching, and we'll see if it works come October. But there's some versatility with this team, and the only issue has been Michael Givens. He hasn't been very good so far as a Met. Hopefully he could pick it up because they need that extra arm. Trevor May has come back and looked pretty solid. He gave a meaningless homer the other day, but whew, and then the trumpets again on Sunday. Figgy, I mean, what else can you say about this guy? And I, you know, did one of those SNY post hits with Dexter Henry on Sunday, and I ended it with saying, I'm so sorry, Edwin Diaz, for saying I would trade you for Dunkaroos, for being so mean. And, you know, we're all guilty of it because he sucked. The first couple
we're all
guilty of saying, you know, he's lousy right now. Explore a trade. Do not trade him. He's your franchise closer. The trumpets are tremendous. The SMY, shout out to them, Figgy, for getting, You know, I was at all the games, but I saw the video of the cameraman behind Diaz running on the field. I mean, that's goosebumps. I mean, that is just tremendous job by them to even be allowed to do that. Think about like a cameraman just running behind a pitcher as he like slowly trots to the mound. That was really cool. And you felt the energy, but just strikeout, strikeout, strikeout. I mean, it's like he's going up against minor leaguers. It's just out of control how good he's been. And you're just like, stay healthy and do this in October. And you're about to get a fat, you know, $20 million a year payday as the best closer in the league.
Yeah, that's one of the things that you're seeing right now is he's so in his element and he's so in such a good groove that even when he's off, he's still able to punch out, you know, the majority of the hitters that he faces. His stuff is just that good. And it's always been that good. You know, we talked about the difference in baseballs over the past 3 years. Each year, it seems like the baseball has been a little different. He had that 1 year right after he saved 57 and he couldn't get that slider to spin the same way. And he tried the same grip. He tried everything that he was doing successfully the year before, and he just couldn't find it. We come to find out that, yes, they did change the baseballs. Yes, they were different baseballs. And it happened to a lot of guys who were used to throwing the ball a certain way. Then even when the sticky stuff went and disappeared, his stuff has gotten better. His stuff has gotten better, whereas there's a lot of guys who lost a lot of RPMs on those sliders because of it, and they're not able to throw it the same way. You know, guys are even gotten hurt, like a Tyler Glass now got hurt because he couldn't use the sticky stuff anymore. Edwin Diaz has ridden the storm and, you know, kept his head above water the whole time when everybody was throwing, you know, even Jim Brewer, you know, who was coming at him way back when, and I kept trying to tell him, you know, this kid has he has one of those arms that is so special that you have to give him a chance. I don't think this is a flash in the pan. This isn't a guy that's going to be here and do one thing and then you're never going to hear his name again. No, this kid was going to be something special. And each year he got a little bit better and a little bit better. And this year it's like having Jacob deGrom in the ninth inning fresh. Yeah, like he's starting off in the first inning. It's a 100-mile-an-hour fastball that seems to have rise to it, and it's a wipeout 93-mile-an-hour slider in that bottom left quadrant to a righty that they cannot figure out whether it's going to stay true at 93 or is it going to drop off the plate at 93 or is it going to just go sideways at 93. And that's been the biggest key for him, is being that consistent.
And it makes you, when we talk about DeGrom, sleep better at night that the Mets didn't go crazy at the trade deadline. Now, you know, they said, you know, DeGrom and May are our trade deadline acquisitions coming back, along with Ruff, who I think we all agree they probably didn't need to give up three prospects and JD Davis to get him, but whatever. They weren't huge prospects. And speaking of prospects, some breaking news that just came in, Figgy, is Brett Baty has earned a promotion to AAA. So he slashed .312 with a .406 OBP at AA. He will be at AAA. And also Jose Buto will also go to AAA. So Alvarez, number one, Baty, two, Vientos, number five prospect, are all in AAA. So one or two of them could come soon, maybe in September when rosters expand. And maybe that's the right-handed bat that the Mets didn't get. They got, you know, they got Ruff. But in terms of impact bat, maybe one of those guys is coming next. But we look at DeGrom and say, oh, trade deadline acquisition. We said on the show last week, we hope that we don't have to hear that. But man, if he is healthy, this is, and after seeing what Scherzer did Saturday night against the Braves lineup, it's scary, this 1-2 punch. And like, you look at each day and I'm like, oh, can I take off this day? Maybe this guy's pitching. It's hard any day because even Carrasco has been tremendous. Walker had the slip up. Bass has been good. Every day you got a good starter going for the Mets. And that's why this is a championship caliber team. 70-39. The New York Mets are Mike Piazza games over .500 right now. And 6.5 up to the point where the Phillies are creeping up on the Braves now at 9.5. The Phillies are 60-48, and things may be, what is it? Things may be closer than they appear. Is that what they say in the mirror? I don't have a car, so I forgot.
Objects may appear closer than.
I haven't had a car in 6 years, so I forgot the sayings on the side of the car. But that objects are closer than they appear. The Phillies are close, and the Mets and the Phillies will duke it out coming up this weekend. Three against the Reds. You hope you at least take two out of three, man. If they could sweep going into the Phillies, they're sitting pretty. And then potentially you might get Noah Syndergaard returning for the Phillies, who had made some moves at the deadline on Sunday, potentially. So if you're looking to go this weekend, you can only go to one. And if you're cool sweating your titties off in the seats Sunday, although it'd be 83 on Sunday, which is a lot cooler than the 92 I was sitting in all weekend. You might see him Sunday. So it should be Scherzer, DeGrom, Bassett over the weekend. Bassett, Carrasco, Walker against the Reds. So, man, you get – think about that, Figgy. You're going to Citi Field over the weekend. You might get Scherzer Friday, DeGrom Saturday, and then see Noah Syndergaard face you on Sunday. That is a tremendous series. I'm sure you're going to get a lot of Phillies fans driving up 95. That's going to be a must-see series. And I think you get the Ron Darling bobblehead, I believe, is the Saturday promotion, part of the GKR series.
If Noah Syndergaard shows up. Still waiting to see if that happens. But, yeah, that's definitely, again, must-see TV. You got to take care of your rivals. And the more you can continue to push them down and make it even tougher, because no matter what strides they make, when they have to face you head to head, you get to, you know, maximize those wins and continue to push them down and show them that they may not be at the caliber that you are. They can take care of the rest of the division, the Miami Marlins, and play those guys and teams below 500. But when it comes to playing teams above 500, there's nobody better than the Mets at taking care of business. And I think this has been all-encompassing. You look at all the different elements of the Mets, their lineup, the way they play defense, the way they Nimmo making terrific catches in center field. They're playing in a energetic. They feed off each other's success. They're not selfish. They're not a me team. And you know, and guys looking forward to, you know, free agent contracts and look, you know, trying to put up their numbers. They're really focused on playing winning baseball. And that starts with Buck Showalter preaching that and knowing that if everyone is pulling on the rope at the same time, it makes it a lot easier to have success. And I think that's what you're seeing. And guys have bought into it. The coaching staff, everyone, there's really very little that you could say is going wrong in Mets land. So just if you can avoid the injury bugs and continue to hope that this bullpen can pull through in the clutch to get the ball to Diaz, and it's going to be a summer to remember.
And they did it on Sunday. We got to give our shout outs to end the segment. Joely Rodriguez, I mean, just 2 1/3 innings, and Joely needed that. And you saw how hyped up he was pumping. You know, I was to the left of the Mets dugout. You saw him just cheering the crowd on, cheering himself on. And he needed that. You know, the Mets have, we keep talking about this team needing a lefty reliever. Maybe David Peterson's that guy. Let's give a shout out to David Peterson. What a fantastic outing. And when they needed him most in a doubleheader, maybe he's that lefty. McGill's on his way back soon. But Joely Rodriguez is supposed to be the lefty, has not been good this year, but he came in for DeGrom. And usually we've seen in the past the deja vu, no run support or the bullpen blows a DeGrom win. Well, he got 4 runs. Joely did the job. And 2 1/3 you got out of him, saving the bullpen. Shout out to Trevor Williams in mop-up duty in the loss Friday. Helping the bullpen out for Saturday and Sunday was big. You're getting contributions from even the late guys on the roster. And the funniest guys, as Adam Ottavino said, Joely Rodriguez is the funniest guy. And that's what you need. 1-26, Figgy. You were the 25th and 26th guy sometimes on that roster, and you had a role, and that was an important role. And I think every one of these guys is important. And man, we got to get Buck on, because I got to just tell him he's a genius. So keep annoying Buck to come on Amazing But True, because he's got to be on. Because I mean,
what happened
Sunday? Like, my mind was blown. You know, I'm talking to fans. I'm like, all right, so he didn't tag him. Nimmo never got to second, but he was called out, so there was no reason for him to go there. So that should be on the ump. They should award him second base. They did not. It took like 20 minutes. Of course, on the hottest day of the year, it took 20 minutes, and they still got it wrong. But just the Buckism, and they kept the challenge too. That was the cool part of it, is that they kind of won the challenge. They lost the challenge, kind of, but they were rewarded the challenge since he was right. So that just shows you the genius of this guy, and we're seeing it every week. Something new where he outsmarts an up, outsmarts the other guy, outsmarts this guy, and mix that with the anger that he has from the Mets continuing to get hit by pitches. And you see him go to the top step and like look into the other dugout. It's what a combination.
Yeah. Well, that's what experience brings you. He's been on both sides of that. Right. And having a good staff that helps you in those situations. Glenn Sherlock, you know, has been through it all as well. He was the bullpen coach with me back in the Diamondback days with Buck Showalter. So they have a long history together. They've seen a lot of baseball. And then again, you're not going to outsmart these guys.
You remember the movie Baby Genius?
Coming soon, Buck Genius, where our manager outsmarts you. He will yell at you. He will scream at you, and he will be better than you. And he won't call out the other team for being lucky in the post game. You're listening to Amazing But True. Jake Brown, Nelson Figueroa. Whew, I'm fired up today. Feeling great after a 5-game series. I mean, can I get a sleeping bag at Citi Field or something at this point in the boiler room? I should be sleeping with Mr. Met.
Yeah,
in the boiler room. It's out of control. I need a break from this place. I'm sweating here. Coming up next on Amazing But True. Well, first off, the Mets plays the Reds for 3, the Phillies for 3, and then the big 4 games in Atlanta next week against the Braves. We'll have a show next Monday. And don't forget Old Timers Day. We'll have a live podcast from Ebb's Brewing Co. We'll talk to a lot of the old timers as well. So that's going to be a fun show on that Saturday. We'll do the show likely after the game. So it's a Saturday night. You could stay up late. Don't go to bed early. Come out to Ebb's, have some beers after the Mets-Rockies game on Saturday, August 27th. That's a 7 p.m. game. And the old timers game, I believe, will be 4. Mets haven't really announced what the schedule is that day. I assume the game itself is going to be around 5 or so. And you get to see a lot of the Mets old timers play. Well, coming up next, speaking of old timers, this guy might be playing. He's 80 now, but you know, he's still looking good, talking good. It's 1969 World Series champion and the author of Coming Home, My Amazing Life with the New York Mets, Cleon Jones on Amazing But True. Next.
I gotta be careful. I gotta buy Christmas presents.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Well, there's World Series fever in the air with the 2022 New York Mets, and that makes us look back to the Mets' first World Series in 1969, and this guy played 12 seasons with the Mets, essentially his whole career outside of, you know, a cup of coffee with the White Sox, but 12 seasons, 63-75. He was a crucial member of the 1969 World Series champion Mets. He was a 1969 All-Star, Mets Hall of Famer, the Mets all-time left fielder, he was called. And now he has a new book. You can go get it now. I like to say wherever books are sold. Coming Home, My Amazing Life with the New York Mets. Let's welcome to Amazing But True, Cleon Jones. Cleon, welcome to the show. Jake Brown, Nelson Figueroa here. Good morning. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, good morning, guys. Good to be here. You get 80 years of age, it's good to be anywhere.
Well, you don't look a day over 60, Cleon. You cut 20 years off your life. You're still looking good.
Thank you for saying that. The check is in the mail.
Exactly. Well, the check is not in the mail for the Braves, and you know the beating the Braves pretty well. I mean, what a weekend for the Mets. How about this 4 out of 5, 6.5 game lead? The team is feeling high, and that's why, you know, memories of 69 and 86 come up. Because this team could be doing something special.
Absolutely. I watched part of the game yesterday. This team is kind of similar to the 69 team. Good pitching. They platoon pretty much like we did. Sherwater is doing a great job in managing and doing all the small things. I saw a squeeze. that was unusual for today's game. They're doing all the right things. They're playing small ball. They're playing to make contact. So that's good news, and that's good baseball.
Absolutely, and I think you could definitely attest to how important it is to have a veteran manager leading the way and what a difference Buck Showalter has made this year compared to the last two managers.
No doubt about it, and I'm not going to compare anybody to Gil Hodges, but I see some similarities with Bucket. And suddenly, when I watch him make his moves, he seemed to be at least one inning ahead of the game. I always say Gil Hodges was 3 or 4 innings ahead of what was happening. So he was great with pitching and great with position players, and he was great with bench players. Just saying, you know, be ready when your number is called. And that seems to be the thing that's happening with these Mets. I say these Mets, our Mets. It's fun to watch now.
In 1968, nothing to laugh at. You batted 297. The next year, you have the career year, and just the right time with the 69 Mets. You batted 340. 340, such a huge jump. What was the big difference for you in 69 rather than 60? I mean, 297, like I said, still a great year.
Well, in baseball, confidence is everything. In 68, I got to know more about myself. I preached to myself all winter that if I got off to a better start, I could hit 300. I wasn't thinking about 340, 360, or anything like that. I just wanted to be a 300 hitter. Confidence, knowing what you want to do at the plate. See, the hardest thing in baseball for a player, toughest person to defeat is yourself. When you're able to defeat you and have yourself under control, that's more than half the battle, because we give the other guys too much credit. The pitcher throws the ball, but once he releases it, you should be in control. If you're not, that's on you. So in 69, I was just simply in control. And my attitude about nobody could get the ball by me was spot on. I didn't ever read the paper to see who was pitching. I just wanted to get to the ballpark and get some of the bats.
How often do you get stopped or asked about, you know, the 69 team? Like, you live in Alabama, so, you know, it's less than if you were on the streets of Astoria here in Queens. But how often do you get stopped, asked about it, think about it? Is that something that's on your mind 100 times a day?
You get asked about it. I live in Alabama, but it's as real here in Alabama as it is in New York. Everybody knows about that. I'm known for the last out, catching the last out. I'm known for being part of the 1969 World Champion Mets. So everywhere I go, that association pop up. But that's the good news. This team has lived 52, 53 years. How many teams you know of that won World Series that you can name right off the bat and everybody can talk about it and talk about all the things that happened each and every inning, whether it be the fifth inning, the last out? 69 was a year that, to me, brought this country together in many ways. Underdogs winning, people understanding other people, whether it be Black people understanding white and that difference. Young and old pulling for the same team. Young kids running around the ballpark. White kids saying, I'm Tommy A.G. Black kids being Tom Seaver. That kind of thing happened in 69, and it kind of brought the country together. So we're all proud of that we were able to rally the country to at least think about we're all one and the same.
And a man was on the moon that year as well. So a lot of things were going down in 1969. Listen, the Jets won. They never won again. So that's something that's rare. The Knicks won a title that season. So it was a big time for you. Like, were you guys out, you know, did you guys like party with the Knicks teams and the Jets teams? Like, you all won in the same year or the year after. I guess Studio 54 wasn't a thing then. I don't know what was the thing in 1969, but did you guys all go out and party together? Like you, Willis Reed, Clyde Frazier?
Studio 54 or 59, whatever it was at a few years ago, it was Outfielder's Lounge at that time.
What is it called? Outfielder's Lounge?
Yeah, Tommy A.G. and I, with another partner, had a nightclub restaurant right there in Queens. And Clyde and all of the guys came by quite often. The Jets, quite familiar with Joe's place. We hung out at Joe's place with Joe. We all were.
With Joe and some other females, maybe, and other people in the building.
Well, Joe had all the females. We just followed behind Joe and got in on the excitement. But it was great, you know, being in his presence. He's a wonderful guy, and he's a good friend. Suddenly, we all had the same dream of winning in New York, and we were all fortunate enough to do that.
So the Jets passed the winning fever on to the Mets, who passed it on to the Knicks. That's essentially what happened. And that's something that you were discussing at Joe's and at Outfielders and all you guys talked about.
Yeah, well, we talked about other things because Joe, at that time, everybody that came to visit Tommy, A.J. and I from Alabama wanted to go see Joe Namath. And so we at the Apple ball game, we would go down and sit and talk with Joe, have a skillet steak or whatever. And just reminisce about Alabama, the Jets, the Mets, other things that had to do with New York. So it was a kind of a kinship that you may or may not understand, because you wouldn't think that Willis Reed and Clyde and all of us would be seeing each other and we would be all be great friends. That's exactly what happened. New York is a big place, but it was a very small and tiny place with these three teams.
Yeah, professional athletes in New York, that's immediate like coverage, immediate response. You're brought into that limelight. No matter who you are. And I think what it was very special about those teams is that you guys all did it at the same time. So you knew exactly what each other was going through. And it was the sense of accomplishment as you did it. It was, okay, now we'll go support the Knicks. We'll go watch them play and root them on. And that's such a great thing to do, to have that camaraderie in a city like New York, where it's so many people, you can get lost in the shuffle. But when you're able to have somebody in your corner, like a Joe Namath, and to name those names, even as, you know, teammates who aren't actually on your team, but they're on your team because you're a New Yorker.
We're all on the same team. We're just playing different sports. So that was great.
Cleon, your book, Coming Home, My Amazing Life with the New York Mets. Get it now. Tell us a little nugget from the book that someone might find and why they should get it.
Well, all of these things that we're talking about now in the book, we talk a great deal about Gil Hodges and what he meant to our winning. We talk about the great pitching that we had, Tom Seaven, Kuzman, Ryan, and all those guys. It's a great read, if I have to say so myself. And we talk about my hometown and what we're doing in this area to help the citizenry. By building homes and refurbishing homes and just helping people in general. And that's our real mandate, is to give back, because there was so much given to, I say us, my family, coming up in this neighborhood. So we're just, for the last 30 years, we've just been trying to give back and help someone that need help, or help everyone that we possibly can that need help. And that's why we formed our nonprofit, the Last Out Foundation. And that's part of the reason why we're doing this book, so people can know what we're doing and what we're all about. Just get to know the real Cleon Jones and family.
You're still looking good and still, you know, telling great stories and stuff. And I got to say, it comes full circle for me, Cleon. I've met 20 of the 69 Mets. I used to go to the sports card and memorabilia shows in Westchester and throughout New York. And I got 20 of you guys to sign a big poster. It's like right after, I think, you catch the last out, and you know, the fans start storming the field, which you never have today. Met 20 of you guys, got it signed. Me and my dad would go to the shows, and you know, I started to learn about the history of the Mets, and it obviously started with you guys. So it's pretty cool to get to talk to you now after, you know, you signed my poster when I was like 14 years old and I had hair and teeth were more crooked and you know, different world back when I was 14. But this all comes full circle, Cleon, so we appreciate it.
Well, thank you guys for having me. Go out and buy the book and have some real fun reading it, because it was a delight for me to do the book. And certainly I think it's going to be a great read for everybody that goes out and get it. So thank you for having me. Be blessed, guys.
Listen, I have one thing to say. With Seaver getting his statue finally with the New York Mets in the franchise, I think iconic moments for the New York Mets should be placed in some kind of bronze. And so I think you catching that last out will be somewhere around City Field shortly. I think it's well-deserved.
Well, thank you. Thank you. And certainly, we like to cap all of those great moments. Certainly, Seaver was the catalyst of that team. If not for Seaver or Gil Hodges or even Tommy Agee, we wouldn't be talking about the 6-9 Mets. It's history, and let's enjoy it.
Appreciate it. Thanks for coming on Amazing But True, Cleon. Appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. Be safe.
Blame the banana. The banana is really getting to my head right now. All righty, Figgy. That will say goodnight to episode 116 of Amazing But True, our Mets podcast from the New York Post.
Thanks to you, Jake, and Andrew Hartz for producing the show. Catch up on all episodes of Amazing But True by subscribing on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. Follow us all on Twitter at Amazing But True, at FiggyNY, and at Jake Brown Radio.
Well, shout out to the Mets for a great weekend. Shout out to the Sweets. You know, the Sweets treated me well over the weekend. Shout out to Beth and the Sweets and Justin and Candace. And Candace, I have a ball for Chase. Shout out to Emily, photographer. We got a ball for the kid. I keep the home run balls, Figgy, but a ball thrown is given to the kids. I am for the people, by the people. So, Chase, I have an official game ball for you.
Good people in the Sweets. They take great care of us, and we're very, very grateful for them.
Yeah, and I'm sorry to my dietitian. I did have some beers. That's all there was. There was wine and beers, so I'm really sorry, but the vodka sodas didn't work out. It was a beer day, so I'm sorry to my dietitian. Sorry to my organs, my liver, my internal system for the weekend that was. I'll be better starting today, but we'll see. If I'm back against the Reds, who knows? A shout out to all them doing a terrific job. We'll return for Jake Brown, Nelson Figueroa, Andrew Hartz. We return next Monday following the Mets series against Noah Syndergaard and the Phillies in Queens as we look ahead to Mets Braves with a special guest potentially. Stay tuned.
Wait. I have to close the show. I forgot.
Oh,
we're,
no.
We're rapid close. My dad had a message for you and I have to play it to close the show. Yeah.
Jake, it's Patty. I was horrified to see you in batting practice. I can get out that. I can get in that batting cage and do better. I was thinking next time I'm in town, he can pitch to me. If he pitches like he pitched to you, I'm not going to hit it over the fence, but I'll knock a couple of doubles down the first and third base.
Doubles down the first and third base.
So there's one message.
Game on.
Hold on, there's one more.
Let's game see. On.
Jake, you ate your first banana? I didn't appreciate Figgy making fun of me. I like Figgy, so I'm not mad at him. But that was.
I thought that was me. I really thought that was me.
I heard that. I'm going to say, Jake, you ate a banana. Okay. And you didn't tell us that you burnt your head. Okay, bye.
You didn't tell us that you burnt your head. You thought that was you doing an impression of her. That was her doing an impression of herself.
No, how about man. That? I nailed it. I'm not going to lie to you. I nailed that impression of your mom.
Right, so you're going to throw BP to my dad. I mean, I don't know how, but maybe I'll tell him to drive up to wherever you are now and he'll throw you at whatever stadium you're at, Gastonia.
We'll find him.
All right. One more. As always,
let's go Mets. Mets.
That was
I'm still way Mets. Better than you.
You don't know for a moment like this.
And I'm out.